You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, for thousands of parents with very young kids, these past few years have been rough. Jen White shares the stories of those families with kids under the age of 5. Find out how they're dealing with burnout, blame, and now the promise of a vaccine for their children. That's today at 6 on 1A+. Now we are entering our third year of the pandemic. During the pandemic, Americans have reported a fourfold increase in things like anxiety and depression. Millions of Americans are grieving a loved one. But even if you aren't anxious or depressed or grieving, the relentless stress of surviving a pandemic can take a toll. You may have trouble focusing and getting stuff done, feel like you're always exhausted no matter how much you sleep, or have a general sense of unhappiness. You may be in something called survival mode. We're talking about burnout, mental stress, and survival mode as we enter the third year of the pandemic, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Was I just talking about you? Have you felt that way lately or sometime over the last few years? Did you find a way out of feeling like that, even as the latest surge came along? How has the pandemic affected your ability to focus, to get things done, to be excited about things and enjoy life? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Jennifer Barman is an assistant professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School. She's also a clinical psychologist. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, a lot of times when we think of stress or even trauma, we might think of an incident or a short period of time. Can you talk about the effects of this sort of long-term, never quite going away kind of stress that we've seen during this pandemic?
Sure. Like you had just mentioned, you know, we're entering our third year of the pandemic. It's crazy to believe that we have been dealing with this pandemic for as long as we have. Well, it's caused a lot of changes in our lives, of course. And unlike stressors that we may have had at work or at home or at school or in different areas of our life before this, we have not had any respite from it. You know, other stressors that we've had throughout our lives, we get to get a break from it. But here we are, year number three, and we're just dealing with a constant state of having to adapt, having to make decisions about safety, having to deal with all these many little stressors, which add up to a lot of big stressors in our life.
That brings us to this concept of survival mode, which I kind of get the gist from the name, I think, but it was new to me as a psychological concept. What do we mean by survival mode?
Yeah, when we're in survival mode, it just feels like something isn't right. And, you know, when we think back of how we've been doing the past 2 years, probably all of us have in some extent been in survival mode. When we're in survival mode, we might notice that we're just feeling more nervous, more anxious. We feel easily overwhelmed, easily irritated by things. Our mood tends to fluctuate, and we may notice that it takes a little bit longer for us to feel okay in between sad moods. We may feel more frustrated and experience a lot of difficulty with tolerating that distress or that frustration. And it can take a toll on how we're performing at work, at school, in our lives kind of overall. And it takes a toll on our relationships with that. We may notice we're a little bit more snippy when we're in survival mode. It's just harder to be able to be as resilient as we naturally are. And with that comes, you know, changes in our sleep patterns where we might notice that we're sleeping more. We're maybe taking that afternoon nap more frequently than we would have before the pandemic or before being in survival mode. We may notice we're having trouble falling or staying asleep. We could be turning to food to be able to cope with all these emotions that we're experiencing. And we may notice that we feel less pleasure in activities we used to enjoy, and perhaps even less motivation to engage in those activities that we used to find a lot of enjoyment in. And so sometimes when we're in that survival mode, we may get to a point of being in more of a struggle mode or a crisis mode, but not necessarily always the case. Some signs to be on the lookout for are those kind of emotional signs that I was just mentioning, but also physical signs. If you notice, like, you're having a lot more muscle tension, a lot more headaches, stomach aches, low energy, this could be survival mode. And it's really coming from a place of just being in this kind of constant state of stress, constant state of adaptation, feeling really overwhelmed with life in general and safety and all the obligations that come along with. life as well as with the pandemic.
Talking to Jennifer Barman, psychologist at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, looking at this idea of survival mode. A lot of people might have found themselves in during the pandemic. You can share your experiences if these things sound familiar or if you've had ways of getting out of that mode. Call 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Nick.
Hi. I really enjoy your show. I appreciate it. We're not really stressed out about the COVID thing. We had COVID in August, and I was really sick. The only issue we had was the kids had to go virtual because of the school district, and it was so hard to get them to concentrate. They went from being straight-A students down to being horrible students, and they're that was a stress. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of screaming at the kids, like, come on, you've got to get, you know, into school. And they just, there's no interest in it. I mean, after we got back into school, they're just like, thank you so much for getting back into school, like, non-virtually. And I don't really like the virtual thing. I think it's very impersonal. So that's the only issue we've had. Since we went back to school, life's been great. I mean, we're not too concerned about COVID now.
Nick, glad to hear they're doing better back at school. But that disruption of routine, the thing we're used to, the mode in this case of learning that we're used to, it isn't just the disease itself, but the disruptions it caused. Can you talk about the kind of problems, Jennifer, that can cause?
Yes, absolutely. So even if we're not necessarily concerned about getting sick, you know, we've been vaccinated or we've gotten sick in the past, the pandemic can still take a toll on our overall well-being. In this case, as Nick, you were just sharing, we're worried about our kiddos. The work from home, school from home, virtual learning, that's been a huge transition for families. You may be worrying, are your kids getting the education that they need? Are they getting the social development that they need? And how do we as adults best model healthy habits for our kids? So I can definitely understand your concern there, Nick. It's definitely tough during this time, this unprecedented time in our lives.
Thanks for calling in, Nick, at 800-642-1234. Cole joins us next in Stevens Point. Cole, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I definitely connect with everything that Jennifer's been sharing, and I think for me, one of the most helpful things has been just getting outside more, which has been more difficult in the wintertime. But I guess I was wondering Jennifer's thoughts on the benefits of just getting outside more.
Cole, thanks for the call. It's a great idea. I think something that's probably helped a lot of people, Jennifer.
Yes, self-care, self-care, self-care. This is number one. And going outside is a terrific way to engage in self-care, especially if the weather's nice, or even if it's not so nice, but going out for a little walk, going out and just spending some time outside. What that can do is it gives us a lot of good feelings. And, you know, we know that exercise or even, as I said, just spending time outside, it can help with our mental health. It can help us combat some of those blues that we might be noticing during feelings of being in survival mode. So I'm really glad that you're getting out of the house a little bit more. But self-care, whether that's spending time outdoors, doing something that you really enjoy doing, spending time with others, those can all be very helpful ways to combat some of this emotional distress or emotional difficulty that you might be experiencing.
Cole, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. And thanks for bringing us into some of the solution side of things here. One thing that strikes me, Jennifer, is, you know, if you're one person and you're in the midst of this multi-year global pandemic, it seems like part of the problem has got to be the sense that there's a lot that's out of your control. Are there ways that we can carve out a little bit of control in our lives that are going to help us get out of this survival mode?
Absolutely. You know, checking in with yourself, each person knows what their own limits are. Know those limits. It's okay to say no to things if you're feeling overwhelmed. It's okay to put up some boundaries as well. So even when you're alone, how can you kind of manage that stress? Are there ways that you've managed stress in other areas of your life, at other times of your life? Those will probably be helpful here. And I realize that with the pandemic, it's caused a disruption in how we can function and how we can access and use our coping skills most effectively. But sometimes our coping skills are still there, such as, you know, our last caller just mentioned about getting outside of the house. That's a really terrific way to use those coping strategies to take care of oneself more effectively. In terms of getting control over our life. Engaging in those activities can be really helpful. Also recognizing what are some areas of your life that you still have control over. We all feel like we've lost a lot of control during the pandemic, right? There's mask mandates, there's all sorts of things that maybe you we feel all sorts of feelings about. But what are some areas of your life that you still have control over? And we want to capitalize on those areas. We want to really acknowledge that they exist and best utilize those.
Thanks again for that call. We're talking to Jennifer Barman, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School. She's talking to us about stress, burnout, and pandemic survival mode, what it is, and maybe how to get out of it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How has the pandemic affected things that were maybe already tough, like parenting, going through a breakup, grieving, losing a job, having a chronic illness? Have you felt that sort of just sustained blah through this thing? Have you found ways to get out of it, to de-stress during the pandemic, get out of survival mode? Do you have recommendations to share with others? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Jennifer Barman, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, talking to us about how to get out of survival mode and what survival mode is as we enter the third year of this ongoing pandemic. You could join in with your experiences, your questions, your solutions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Rusk County. Mike, hi.
Hi. When the whole COVID thing first started, I felt a little bit of stress, I have to admit. But I'll tell you, I have full faith and confidence in our medical community and our technology that's out there with the vaccines and so forth. And once I got the vaccine, and then when the boosters are required, once I got the booster, I didn't look back. I have total faith and comfort. I go out and live my life pretty much the way I lived it before the COVID. And I don't feel any stress at all now.
Mike, thanks. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Mike. And I think a lot of people if you graphed their stress out, Jennifer, for a lot of people, they were like Mike, where the stress level may have gone down a lot after those vaccines started getting it, as people started to get them. And maybe if we worry about the news lately, it's good to reflect on the progress that's been made compared to where we were maybe a year or two ago.
For sure. A year or two ago, things looked very different. So even though we're entering the third year of the pandemic, we have the vaccinations to rely on, the medicine and the science that went behind it. But I can also understand for some people that while all this is out there and we are accessing and utilizing all this wonderful science, that it can still feel a little confusing at times. I look back at last spring when vaccinations were becoming more widespread and there was a return to some resemblance of the pre-pandemic life. But then Delta happened, and then Omicron happened, and we may at times still be feeling very much the effects of the surge and the effects of the pandemic. It's wonderful to hear that some people are not feeling stressed, and that's fantastic, and that's what we want to hear. But it's okay if that's also not the case.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to get into another concept comes up in conjunction with survival mode, the idea of cognitive dulling. What is that? What does that mean?
Yeah, so cognitive dulling is nothing new. It's something you might have experienced after a sleepless night or when you're not feeling well or when you're feeling very stressed. But what's unusual about cognitive dulling now is that how pervasive it is. And what cognitive dulling really is, it's a form of mental fatigue that can impact concentration, it can impact focus, attention, productivity, and overall emotional well-being and mental health. So it's something that we're seeing and hearing a lot more as having occurred in the past couple of years with the COVID-19 pandemic. And a lot of it has to do with this being in a constant state of adaptation and tying back to that survival mode. So being in that survival mode can trigger that sensation of cognitive dulling. We've had to make so many changes in the past couple of years, and we're continuing to having to adapt even now. We're dealing with poor boundaries of time. We're dealing with our kiddos being home. We're dealing with maybe being apart from our loved ones. And so it can affect how we function most effectively.
Talking to Jennifer Barman from the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences there, looking at some of the mental health, emotional health impacts of the ongoing pandemic. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Been mostly talking about people who have just been kind of living through the pandemic. How about people for whom the pandemic has been what we might call traumatic, somebody who's lost close loved ones, maybe multiple close loved ones, or the healthcare worker who has seen this, you know, the worst parts of the surges? What kind of things can we think about to help get them get through not just the ongoing pandemic, but this acute kind of trauma that they're seeing?
Yes, it's been a very difficult time for a lot of people. You mentioned healthcare workers, and also you mentioned people who lost a loved one. Now, having lost loved ones, that can be particularly challenging in these really unprecedented times, because there's a lot of things that go with it. It's this emotional processing that we're having to deal with, along with maybe being apart from others who we could maybe turn to for support and for help with the coping process. So giving ourselves that the recognition that it's okay to still be grieving, and it's okay to perhaps be grieving a little bit longer than we may have pre-pandemic. And for healthcare workers, it's so important that those tools that help with the stress, that we turn to those, but that we also turn to others. So for everyone, whether healthcare workers, first responders, civilians, people out there who are our listeners today, asking for help. We all have been going through a lot these past 3 years. And even if our stress feels like it's a lot more manageable now, know that sometimes being in that survival mode can also trigger a little bit more of that struggle mode or even crisis. And there are resources out there. So turning to people for help and support is going to be really essential here. And whether that's a loved one that we can turn to or the professionals, there are resources available.
Let's go back to our callers now. Joe is with us in Waukesha. Joe, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted just a quick comment. During the pandemic, you know, I was extremely stressed at my job because we made automation for like warehouses to, you know, for people that bought more stuff online to get things out quicker. And we never closed during the pandemic, quite the opposite. You know, we were working 70 hour weeks because we just had a bunch of orders. And I was there for like over a decade, and it just became over, like, you know, way too much for me. And I just found another job that was just a lot less stressful because it was just the expectations were just way, way too high. And just thank you.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing that story. You're not alone there. A lot of people switching jobs over the last couple of years. Jennifer, a lot of people in that situation, maybe rethinking what their job is and should be, as Joe did.
Yes, we definitely are seeing that a lot across the board here. And there's a lot of factors that go with that. Exhaustion, burnout, working those 60, 70 hours a week, that's a lot. But also satisfaction in work. It has definitely shifted for many people. And then there's people who lost their jobs during the COVID pandemic, particularly when I'm thinking like early pandemic, when there were a lot of losses, where there were transitions to other formats. It's tough. It's tough to have to reconsider what you want your career to look like or find a new job. Sometimes, as you know, our colleague was just mentioning, you've been in this organization for a decade, for a long period of time in your life, and it's tough making those transitions, whether it's with the goal of finding more life satisfaction, better work-life balance, or for other reasons.
Joe, thanks again for sharing your story. Time for one more caller. Wanda is with us in Orfordville. Wanda, hello.
Hello. I just want to share my happy experience with being sequestered. And it was the first winter of sequestering. A little kitten was dropped apparently from heaven into my yard in mid-November and gave me something warm to touch and love all the time I was sequestered.
Wanda, what's your kitten's name?
Bibsy Snowfoot.
So, okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of people, Jennifer, turned to pets, kittens or otherwise during this.
Definitely. It goes back to that self-care, that companionship, that the warm and fuzzies that we get from turning to our pets. They are a huge source of support. And a lot of people have turned to adopting more pets during this time. One thing about the work from home situation that a lot of people transition to is you have more accessibility to be able to tend to your pets day long. And so that's one of the wonderful things about self-care. And it sounds like a great way to do self-care.
Thanks for the call, Wanda. Just in our last half a minute or so, Jennifer, can you leave us with some encouragement if we're spotting some of these symptoms of survival mode you laid out earlier?
Yes, absolutely. Know that this is a current status that we're in. And you know it feels like it's been unrelenting and going on forever, but it will get better. And during these times when maybe it's a little bit darker and harder to see those good times, know that there are a lot of good things still that you can maybe turn to and a lot of support out there. As I was mentioning that talking to others or turning to support, I just want to highlight the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and text line. That's 1-800-273-8255, or the text line is texting home to 741741. And there's other crisis lines as well that are accessible to you. Turn to those resources. Turn to our loved ones. Turn to people in your environment. Ask for help because you are not alone.
Thanks to our guest, Jennifer Barman, Assistant Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Texas McGovern Medical School, talking about our mental and emotional well-being during the pandemic. Tomorrow on Central Time, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We'll find out ways to plan ahead with recipes we can make and freeze. That's tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we're going to hear about your favorite games, puzzles, and brain teasers. Maybe it's Wordle, Jumble, Words with Friends, Scrabble, Sudoku. Tell us why you play and why others should too. You can let us know right now over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Back in October, hardly anyone had even heard of the online word-guessing game Wordle. It was on a really basic, simple, ad-free website. The New York Times says by November, the game had 90 users. Fast forward to about 2.5 weeks ago, 300,000. Today, millions. It's no wonder the Times bought it this week, reportedly for a price in the low seven figures. If you're not familiar, the point is to come up with the correct five-letter word. Start with any word. It lets you know which letters in the right place, which are in the wrong place, which ones don't belong at all. You get six chances to figure it out. Then you can brag to everyone on social media that you solved it, as many have done. That got us thinking, maybe there is a talk show segment here, not just about Wordle itself, but other brain teasers. After all, public radio listeners like words and numbers and puzzles and games, right? So here's your chance to tell us what you like to play. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite word game or puzzle? What is your favorite and why? Is it Wordle? Are you pretty good at it? Or do you have to go on Google and cheat? Maybe you play Words with Friends or Scrabble, crosswords, word finds. We'll throw Wheel of Fortune out there too. Maybe Sudoku if you're more into numbers. What is your go-to word game or puzzle? If you got any tips on how to win at them, you can share those as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. No guest for this one. You are our guest, counting on you to help carry things along. We pose these questions to our WPR and PBS Wisconsin colleagues. Here's what Willa Schlecht in WPR's Administration and Finance Office had to say about her favorite game.
I play the New York Times Spelling Bee, and I've been doing it for about 6 months. It's an anagram of seven letters where you have to figure out all the words in a list. And what I found out after I got addicted is that if you get all the words in the list, a little bee will buzz all over your screen. But I have never gotten all of the words. 3 a.m. every night, Central Standard Time, they drop the prior day's list of words. And this morning, I was just one word off from getting the buzzing bee. I've never been competitive, but I am with this game. And the word I missed was hotly, and I'm hotly disappointed that I missed it. They allow you to scramble the letters in the game. And so you just keep scrambling letters and trying to come up with combinations of four or more letters. And there's always extra bonus points for a pantogram, which uses all of the letters. And it's a wonderful addiction.
Do you have a wonderful addiction to a puzzle or word game online in a paper, in a magazine? Call 800-642-1234 to share yours. Let's go to your calls now. Mike is with us in Portage. Mike, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your game, Mike?
I do Wordle. I also do Sudoku. And did you know that Wordle is actually the same exact game as an old game show that used to be hosted by Chuck Woolery called Lingo?
I remember Lingo. I watched it on the Game Show channel, and I'd forgotten it until you just said the word just now.
I loved that game. It was my favorite game. So seeing Wordle is really nice for me.
Cool. And, you know, I think of the old Mastermind game where it was colors, and you had to say how many you had right, how many in the right place, and so on. Did you ever play that back in the day, Mike?
I did not, no.
Okay. So if you like Wordle, I don't know, you might like Mastermind. So you said Sudoku. Have you been into Sudoku for years and years?
I have. I played it. I used to play it in books, but now it's on an app on my phone. But Sudoku, I can't remember. There's another one, and I can't remember the name of it. But it's another one that's similar to Sudoku, using numbers to fill out puzzles in the same way.
I'm good at Sudoku when it's like the one star, the easy versions. I have to give up halfway through on the tough ones. Can you get those like really challenging ones?
I sometimes can. It's really difficult.
We've scrambled not just the words, but your call there, Mike. But thank you so much for getting us started at 800-642-1234. With the rise of Wordle, we're asking for your favorite word games, puzzle games, whether you do them online, in person, or maybe you play Scrabble or other Boggle maybe with friends or family. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tell us if there's a daily habit of yours when it comes to puzzles or word games. Morning show producer Mackenzie Crummy, by the way, we just heard about Sudoku. Mackenzie says, I play Sudoku most days, can rarely solve a six-star puzzle from the Saturday edition of the Wisconsin State Journal. If anyone has tips on how to make it past the initial techniques of scanning and naked pairs, I'd love to hear them. I think I know what those are. I don't really know the strategy phrases. Do you Sudoku? 800-642-1234 is the number to call in with your word game. We heard from Ezra Wall, manager of WPR's lacrosse region, with a favorite word game memory.
My former colleague Karen was the classical music announcer at the radio station we both used to work at, and she started a thing where randomly we would leave cryptograms on each other's desks. And instead of being a quip or a common quote, it would usually be some kind of inspirational quote from a thought leader like Thich Nhat Hanh or Desmond Tutu or something like that. And in addition to being fun and challenging, it always made us feel better about the day. I miss those days.
Thanks, Ezra. An inspirational puzzle. I like that. Now, this is bringing back memories. When I was a kid, well, I was a nerd, no surprise there. I used to get Games Magazine, which they had reviews of board games, which I liked. And then it was packed full of puzzles, including cryptograms, like Ezra was talking about there. Cryptic crosswords, which I'm still hooked on when I can find them to this day. Can't always finish those either. What's yours? 800-642-1234 is the number to call with your puzzles and word games. Let's go back to your calls now. Nancy is with us in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Oh, dear, dear, I'm so happy to be in touch with you because I have an absolute passion for cryptograms. And I do believe it's so mentally challenging, but so much fun. And I want to make you aware, Rob, that there is a magazine called Cryptogram Special. Ooh. I will send you a copy of where you can get this delivered to your house. There are 350 cryptograms each and every month. It's
wow.
So wonderful.
That's a great
spot. And you don't get a clue as you do in the daily newspaper.
Ooh.
They don't give you a clue. And that's, I just love these. I've been a crossword addict my whole life, but cryptograms even beat crossword puzzles.
Now, Nancy, for someone who's never done a cryptogram, can you explain what they are? It's been a while since I've done one, I'll be honest.
Well, you're decoding something that somebody has encoded, substituting one letter for another. And you soon begin to know how to do this fairly rapidly because you can see the repetitiveness of the letter E, for instance, and you can see the repetitiveness of the starting of the words with TH. But after I'd started doing them, I realized I could tell that something had actually changed in my brain. I felt a different rewiring in my brain.
Wow.
And now I can, but don't give me anything to do with numbers. I would never do a Sudoku or whatever it is. Never. Words, beautiful English words. That's my passion.
I love it. Nancy, thank you so much. I know what you mean about the brain. Sometimes when I'm doing a cryptic crossword and I crack one that had been stumping me for a while, I feel like a little whoosh of happy brain activity. So I'm right there with you. Mark joins us next in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
Hey, it's not exactly the same as what you're talking about, but my coworkers and I are hospice workers, and every year we probably over 100 people help them pass on, and throughout the year we just try and remember the names of all the people we cared for. We'll just send a name in a text message or in an email, just reminding us of the names and the stories of who we've cared for. Okay, keep your mind strong and keeping the energy going for those families.
Mark, and it's a tribute to the people you've cared for, too, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Mark, thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's a great story. We are talking about our favorite word and number games and brain teasers and puzzles. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your go-to game or puzzle? Have you been swept up in the Wordle craze? Are you tired of people posting their Wordle patterns on your social media? Is there a brain teaser, a puzzle you do every single day? Why do you play? What do you get out of it? Is there something you'd recommend that people try out? Tell us about your strategies, your favorites right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The conversation continues coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about games, puzzles, and brain teasers. It's a fun topic with all the buzz surrounding the online word guessing game Wordle. According to the New York Times, it had 90 users back in November. Today, millions play it daily. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us if and why you play this new Wordle or other games you enjoy as well in the word and puzzle categories. Jumbles, crosswords, word finds, words with friends, Sudoku, you name it. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Amy is with us in Madison. Amy, hi.
Hello.
What's your game, Amy?
I was invited back as a returning second place champion to the Mount Horeb Scandahoovian Fest Adult Spelling Bee.
Ooh. Were you always good at spelling, Amy? Were you good at spelling bees as a kid?
No, I got pretty far and then I'd screw up on some, you know, some brain fart or another. But I always thought of myself as being very good with spelling. You know, I find copy errors all the time when I'm reading. I convinced a good friend of mine to join me one year, and then so she and I placed first and second that year. And this after like getting out the first year, I attempted on a very embarrassing word. I think it was amnesia. And then the following year, she flunked out on another embarrassingly easy word. Of course, you remember all those words that you screw up. But it was most exciting, and there were some really bizarre words in their word list. And it's a hoot because the people who hold it are, you know, they're up for some crazy fun. So it's kind of fun.
Amy, thank you so much for sharing that. That sounds great. At 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ask you for your favorite word games or puzzles or number puzzles like Sudokus. 800-642-1234. Yeah, I remember one elementary school spelling bee. My dad worked in the city of Taylor, Michigan. T-A-Y-L-O-R. And I got the word Taylor, T-A-I-L-O-R, in the spelling bee. I got it wrong. I spelled the city. And I was out. We asked around WPR for word game stories. You could join in with yours at 800-642-1234. Here's Kathy Miner, a volunteer in the WPR Simply Folk Music Library.
I am a total public radio nerd and a word nerd besides. I've been playing the NPR Sunday puzzle since, as Will Short says, the postcard days. I make sure I'm awake by 7:45 every Sunday morning, and I have a little notebook and pen at my bedside. I play along with the randomly selected on-air contestant, sometimes, I'll admit it, shouting at the radio when the answer is unbearably obvious, other times being amazed at how quickly they get the solutions while I'm still fumbling.
I'm going to give you some categories in two words. You name something in each category, starting with each initial in the category. Any answer that works is fine. For example, if I said zoo animals, you might say zebra, aardvark.
Okay.
Okay. Number one is Greek letters.
Gamma, lambda.
That is correct. Number two is roulette.
Then when bets. Will announces the next week's challenge, I jot down cryptic instructions, and when I go downstairs, I post the challenge in a special spot on the side of the refrigerator, the better to refer to it over the next few days. If the puzzle involves any anagramming, I get out my trusty Scrabble tiles. Saves a lot of erasing and frustration. I don't solve the puzzle every week, far from it. But if I do, I enter the answer online. I'm still waiting for that Thursday phone call inviting me to play on the air.
Good luck, Kathy. We are asking for your favorite word games and puzzles at 800-642-1234. Jeff joins us next in Waukesha. Jeff, hi.
Hi, Rob. I played Mastermind, like you mentioned, and I thought that was an excellent relationship to Wordle. And I wish they had a Wordle that had six-letter words or three-letter words, because once a day is not enough for Wordle.
Yeah, I think that's part of the charm for some people, though. They get their one dose of Wordle, and that's it. You want more, though, Jeff.
I do, but I appreciate that I can't have it, because that does keep me hooked on it. And I was thinking about getting Classic Battleship out to introduce to my children so that they could do, I can't see it, but I have to imagine what's on the other side of the wall, a puzzle game.
That sounds great. And make sure they don't stack those ships up like everybody's older sibling did back in the day.
No cheating. Yes.
And Jeff, do you do, I mean, Wordle is a puzzle. Are there other puzzles you're into?
I can do Sudoku. And I recently got a book where they did a picture for a letter. Nancy, your caller, was talking about cryptograms where it's maybe a letter for letter. And she recognizes the T-H-E combination very easily, but this was like a triangle would be a letter and a square would be a letter, and it was for the kids to solve a simple phrase.
Interesting. Jeff, thanks a lot for sharing that, and you're passing it on to the next generation. I love it. Well, with the rise of Wordle, we're asking you to share your favorite puzzles and word games and number games, maybe, if you'd like, or number puzzles like Sudoku. Still time for your call, your story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kathy joins us next in Appleton. Kathy, hi.
Hi. I love crosswords myself, but my favorite game with my husband is Scrabble. We've been playing Scrabble together every day for the last several years, and it might sound odd, but we often play at dinner time. And I know you're not supposed to do anything when you eat. You're supposed to concentrate on your eating. But it gives us time to just kind of connect with each other and say, how was your day? And, you know, instead of sitting down and saying, we're going to talk, it's kind of like when you're driving in a car. It's easier to talk to someone then. But no one else in my family likes to play with us because we have our own rules. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever read The Accidental Tourist. They have a card game they play, and they make up their own rules. Where our rules are that you can use the premium square more than once. So if I make a word on a triple word a tile, then I get the triple. And my if my husband puts an S on the word, he gets triple as well.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, we also, if one player gets at least 100 points more than the other player, the player that's losing gets two turns in a row, so you can catch up. Huh. And we also use a dictionary to check on words because my husband, when we started playing, he was a very poor speller. And so I have a little up on him in that I'm a former English teacher. So, but it's taught him to be a better speller, and we've actually learned new words because sometimes he'll spell a word and I'll think, that's not a word, and then we'll look it up, and sure enough, it is.
So, wow.
That's my word story.
All right, Kathy, I love it. Scrabble over dinner. Thanks for that. WPR's digital marketing director, Judith Heise, shared a Scrabble story. My husband and I are gamers, she writes. They sure are. Earlier in a marriage, we would play Scrabble. It always left one of us rather unhappy with the other. I play to make the most interesting word I can for the tiles, my tray, and on the board. Everyone wins when it's a beautiful game of creative word making. My husband plays to win the score, to take or block bonus spaces, wreck the board so there's nowhere to play, which is super annoying. And then one day they were playing in the park, hunched over the board. There was a huge gust of wind. The board tumbled over and blew off the table. Tiles were everywhere. Judith writes, the universe spoke. The path to our happiness as a married couple did not include Scrabble. Haven't played each other since at least 20 years. Back to your calls now. Ed is with us in Deerfield. Ed, hi.
Hi, this is Ed. And I would just like to make the comment on both Sudoku and the Ken-Ken. Excuse me. I've been doing the Ken-Ken and the Sudoku with the State Journal, and I started out just doing one. Then I got to second level and third level, and so I'm working my way up. But one of the things that I really like about it is it keeps your mind thinking. You go from, well, if this leads to this, then that must lead to another thing. And I really enjoy that because it just helps your mind to jump around a little bit, to think you just don't think in a straight line. You have to, you know, move from left to right or right to left, whichever.
I love it, Ed. Good brain exercise. Thanks for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Brian joins us next in Eau Claire. Brian, hi.
Yeah, hi there. So we just got a game at Christmas called Kids Against Maturity. It's a card game, and there's two stacks of cards. One of them has a sentence with a blank in it, and then the other stack of cards has one word in it. So you get like 10 of these one-word cards. Somebody reads the card with the blank in it, and you fill in the blank with the cards you have in your hand. And then the person who read the card picks the funniest one, you know, and it's hilarious.
And is it like laugh-out-loud funny when you're playing, Brian?
Absolutely. Yeah, we did it with our kids at home, had a blast, did it with my sister over Christmas, and there must have been 10 of us around the table, and yeah, we had a really good time. A lot of fun, a lot of laugh-out-loud stuff.
That sounds like kind of like Mad Libs in game form, sort of.
Exactly.
I love it. Brian, thank you so much for sharing that with us today. Thanks to everyone who called in and our colleagues who shared their stories as well. Still time for you to share your favorite brain teaser, word game, puzzle, you name it. Keep it going on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Leave a comment about which games and puzzles you like to play, tips you've picked up along the way, what you get out of playing. You just want to brag about how awesome you are at Wordle or some other game, knock yourself out again. Share that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Love to hear more about your favorite games and puzzles. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a presidential historian about the latest reporting on the aftermath of the 2020 election and the former President Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the election. A lot of new documents coming out, statements for people at the center of the story as well. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.